Today,
recording in progress.
Today, I would like to speak to you about salvation. My message is entitled Saved with a question mark. You know, are you saved? Are we saved? Because you know that when I speak to you, I speak to me, right? Amen. Are we saved? Amen. So all of you who are saved, stand up. Not really. You can sit. I was just being, you know, that's rhetorical. Amen. Amen. But, you know, we want to know that we're saved, right? And you know, the Word of God, and we all know this verse. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Amen. So we know that God wants us to be saved. So, you know, in Romans 10:9-12, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart, amen, that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Amen. Isn't that what we've all learned? Yes. And we've done, right? Amen. Amen. We've done that. So once we do that, what happens? What's the next step? The next step, and I'm gonna wind this together, you'll see exactly where I want to lead to. What is the next step? The next step says, let me quote the scripture. Because I like to quote the scriptures so you know I'm not talking out of two sides of my mouth, right? Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you trust, you also trusted. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Amen? Amen. That's where this ministry's name comes from, Promise Christian Ministries. You are sealed. So when you're saved, God sends the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. He sends the Holy Spirit and he seals you. Amen? So what does it mean that you're sealed? I'm not going to go into all the definitions of being, of what it means to seal. You know, in the old times, they used to take a letter and seal it with wax. And if that wax was broken, they knew. They had their own seal. Each one had their own seal. Well, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Why is he the Holy Spirit of promise? Because when Jesus left, he told his apostles, "I won't leave you orphans, but wait here because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. And he did that. Amen. He sent the Holy Spirit to seal them. So what does it mean? You know what it means to be sealed? It means that you're shielded. You know what we a shield? You're shielded by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're guarded by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You're guarded by the Holy Spirit. Let me... 1 Peter 1:3-5. I'm not going to read to you a lot of scripture, but I'll give you the scripture so you can find it. Amen? Another scripture I'm going to give you is Acts 2:38. It says, "If you repent, every one of you, and be baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, let me differentiate for those of you that understand speaking in tongues. Right? Speaking in tongues is a manifestation. But you don't necessarily have to speak in tongues to have received the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit comes once you believe in Jesus as Lord, amen, as Savior and Lord, He sends the Holy Spirit. Seal. You know what it means to be sealed? It means that you can never lose your salvation. That's what it means to be sealed. Amen? And if you look, you can see, let me give you some scriptures and just jot them down. John 14, 16 to 17. This is where Jesus says that he's going to ask the Father, and he's going to ask the Father to send the Spirit of Truth that the world cannot receive, but you as a believer can receive. In John 14, 26, this one is important. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. In John 15, 26, it says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Amen? So as you see, once you're saved, you will receive the Holy Spirit, who will testify of Christ. Amen? He will testify of Christ. So, testify, you know what the word, when you testify, in court, you're a witness. You're a witness to things that have occurred. So Jesus says, when you have the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you about me, about the things which I have done, about the things which I require. He's going to testify of me. So you know what? We should always be listening. What is the Spirit saying to me? Not what he's saying to fulano, my neighbor. What is the Spirit saying to me? Amen. 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 So you repented, you said the sinner's prayer, you, and I'm going to put it in quotes, believed in your heart, and so you're saved, and you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I have a question. My question is, do you believe once saved, always saved? You believe in once saved, always saved. You know what that means? That means that you will never lose your salvation. So do you believe because you have believed, you will never lose your salvation? So I have a question. Have you truly believed? That's the qualifier. You know, many people I've had bring up to me, what do you mean? The word says that once I believe, I'm saved forever. So it doesn't matter what I do. But are you a true believer? Have you truly believed? Yes, I believe in once saved, always saved, of a true believer. Because the word that I read you, no one can snatch you from the Father's hand. Amen. No one can, if you have truly believed, no one can snatch you from the Father's hand. Once saved, always saved. But it only applies to true believers. And there are a multitude of Christians going around saying that they're Christians and so on and so forth. But their behavior shows you that they have not truly believed. Right. Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a true believer, the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. Amen. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let me show you. So how does the Word, not Ruth, not the pastor, how does the Word differentiate between true believers and those that are not true believers? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. And don't any of you go running out the doors. Let me finish this message. Don't get offended, because we have to clear up things so we can get right before God. Amen. This message is for all of us. No one, not me, not anyone, not the pastor, no one is exempt. Amen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Here's what it says. Here's what the Word says. And we know this is, the Word is whom? The Word is Christ. Amen? This is the Apostle Paul, who was 3 years in the Arabian desert, who the Lord downloaded most of the books of the New Testament. Amen? Here's what it says. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, because the devil will always try to deceive us. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. Let me add to that, nor women who have sex with women, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. The Word says that. Galatians 5:19-21. It reads like this. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Now, why does he say the acts of the flesh? Because once you are spirit-filled, we should not be indulging in the acts of the flesh if they're contrary to the Word of God. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the major ones, the big one, or what we'll just say big, but they're all the same. The big ones are very clear. They're very clear. But are you greedy? Do you put yourself before others? Do you slander people? Do you gossip? Let's use another word for slander. Do you gossip about people? Do I gossip about people? I know you're all saints, but I know I've been there. But you all are all saints. Do you gossip about people? Negative comments about people? That's not what God wants. Amen? Rage. Do you have fits of rage? Do you have fits of rage? Do you go off the deep end all of a sudden because somebody did something to you? Whether you're justified or not, do you go off the deep end? The Holy Spirit is going off the deep end, and He lives in you and me. We have to put that away from us. Amen. Dissensions. Amen. Dissensions. I don't agree with you, so I'm gonna be one to dissent. I'm not gonna agree with you, so dissensions. Look, we're all different. We don't have to agree, but we have to respect each other's opinion.
Amen.
We all come from a different upbringing. Whether we like it or not, we have these tinted lenses that we look through, and we have the Holy Spirit that can help us to get rid of those tinted lenses. Envy. Are you envious of somebody? See, the Word of God says sexually immoral. And that can take into account a whole lot of stuff. Amen. Thieves. And I'm not going to go into theft heavily, but we could. Thieves. What does God classify? Something that doesn't belong to you, and you take it. I could mention that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And we're not trying to make anybody rich, but we're trying to be obedient to the Word of God. If we're true believers, amen? Quite clearly, if we have professed Jesus Christ as Lord, and we are true believers, we should not be engaging in these behaviors. The Word of God says, in Matthew 7:21-23, and we got to take this to heart. We got to be different. We cannot be a tit-for-tat people. You did it to me, so I'm going to do it to you, because you cannot have the last word. I mean, we've all been there. Come on. We've all been there. Matthew 7:21-23 reads like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Boy, if you watch YouTube, you see all these ministries abroad. You see these men casting out demons. You see them professing this and that. And then you see them not caring about the poor, not caring about those that are ill. You know, it's all a farce. You know, they live in these wealthy homes. They make the people do things that they're not supposed to do. I saw something on YouTube. This minister was telling the people to eat grass. And they were out there eating grass. Is this the Lord? No, there's going to come a day when God is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoer. Amen? We got to watch. We got to watch what we're doing. We got to, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Conviction is not condemnation, okay? The Holy Spirit does not condemn you. And I am in no position to condemn anybody, and I don't have a right to. But we have conviction. You know when you did something wrong, right? Yes. I mean, if you're a true believer, the Holy Spirit comes and he checks you right away. Yeah. And inside yourself, you said, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. So these are the behaviors of who is not a true believer. So you have to look at people. You have to see how are they acting? What are they doing? Do I hang around with these people? What does the Word say? The Word says, how can two agree? How can two come together if they're not in agreement? You know what, in Spanish, what we say? Dime con quien anda y te diré quien eres. Tell me who you're walking with and I'll tell you who you are. Amen. Amen. Hey, if God has not given you a ministry to the addict, a ministry to the prostitute, a ministry to the drunkard, a ministry to the adulteress. If God has not given you that ministry, you should not be hanging out with them. You know why? Because you can be easily influenced. God has raised up people to minister. And you know who can minister to the addict? An ex-addict. You know why? Because he knows what he's going through. He knows what he's going through. You know who can minister to a drunkard? A drunkard? An ex-drunkard. Because he knows what that person is going through. He knows how hard it is. And he can have true compassion. Amen. When I worked for Child Protective Services, this man with a master's came we had a seminar. And he has all these degrees. And this person got up and kind of challenged him and said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're telling us to do this and that, that, that. And he said, let me tell you something. I'm an ex-drug addict. And I'm an ex-alcoholic. And I know what I'm talking about. You see? You can't be, if you don't know what a person is going through, you have to be careful. You can minister in love. You understand? But you can't hang out because you might get tempted if that has been your past. Amen? You don't tell an alcoholic, an ex-alcoholic, to go hang out with an ex-alcoholic. Or an ex-drug user or whatever. Amen? So that we have to be careful. And I don't know why I went over there, but that wasn't my intention. Anyway, so who is a true believer? How do we distinguish? Because we have, as Christians, who comes against you constantly? The devil. Because the devil wants you to perish. The devil wants you to lose your salvation. The devil wants you to commit acts that are not in agreement with the Word of God. So who is a true believer? The Word of God says in John 8:31-32, the Word of God says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and the truth will set you free. Amen. We have to be constantly in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is like a mirror. Who does it reflect? It reflects us. It shows me what I'm doing wrong. It shows me which of my behaviors don't please God. Attitudes, envies, jealousies, gossip. In John 14:21, this is what it says. The person who has my commandments and obeys them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. We have to obey the commandments. And I don't mean 1 to 10. I mean the whole Word of God. He says that if we obey his commandments, the Father God will love us. And he will love us. And he will manifest himself. Have you ever had the Lord manifest himself to you? That's called a manifested presence of God. Have you ever been either in your room or somewhere and you know that God is there with you? That's the manifested presence of God. And that's awesome. When you know that God hears you, that he sees you. He sees you. You ever think, God, don't you see me? Don't you hear me? In John 15:1-4, what it basically says is Jesus is, it's a metaphor. or simile. Jesus calls, he says that he's the vine and that his Father is the one that prunes the vine. When you prune something, it grows, right? If you have a garden, you know, you always have to prune your trees, your garden. So he says that he prunes the vine. He said that. And then he says, what does he prune it? So that they can bear fruit. So he says, if it doesn't bear fruit, I cut it off. I throw it in the fire. I get rid of it. So what is that saying? That means actions. In James, he says, your actions don't save you. What saves you is your belief in Christ. But then he says, your actions show that you have believed. Right? If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then we should be doing good things. We should have good behaviors. We should have actions that bless, not actions that cut people down, not actions that hurt people, not actions that demean people. We should have good actions. Amen? Amen. And in John, and I wish you would read these scriptures on your own, in John 17, 20 to 23, amen? Jesus is speaking about oneness, being one. He's praying for, in this chapter, he knows he's going to the cross, and he's talking to his apostles and disciples, because he's trying to encourage them and tell them what he wants. And in this one, he's praying to the Father. And he says, let them be one as you and I are one. There should be no division among Christians who are true believers. There should be one. We should all be one. We should not be fighting against each other. We should not be saying things against each other. That's of the devil. That's how the devil comes in. He sneaks in and he tries to divide the body of Christ.
Amen.
We gotta get away from that. We have to get away from that. Amen. Within every true believer abides God the Holy Spirit. We know that, right? We've said that. Amen. Within true believer. And look what it says in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. It says, the Holy Spirit produces behavior traits that are representative of Jesus. The Apostle Paul referred to these characteristics as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And what's the fruit? And fruit is just a word. What are the traits that the Holy Spirit produces in you, in me? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a big one. That's a big one. Somebody once gave me a book on the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. I said, wow, she's giving me this book. I'm just trying to tell you that I'm no different than any of you. We all got shortcomings. We all have blown it at one time or another. And we all continue to blow it with attitudes, you know, with things that don't please God. Amen? You heard the behaviors. Put them away from you. If you're involved in any of these behaviors, decide right now, I'm going to repent. I'm going to put this behavior away from me. I'm going to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, remember, if you're not a true believer, you can't do this because the Holy Spirit is not in you. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us. We cannot do this in and of ourselves. We cannot receive the glory. We cannot say, look at me, I'm so good. It's by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. But the word is given to us so that we can see, so that we can see who is of God and who is of not of God. And maybe you can minister, maybe, but you got to protect yourself. And you can't indulge in the same behaviors. Amen. Has anyone here not sinned? No. We've all sinned. We have all sinned, the word says, and come short of the glory of God. You know, look at the times that we're living in. Look at the things. Another 10 years, we're going to be in cryptocurrency, some kind of a digital currency. That's what they're professing. In another 10 years, we may be in digital currency. What does that tell you? That the Bible is true, because the Bible says we are going into a cashless society. What happens with cryptocurrency? You see it now. They can stop your credit card in a minute. If you call and say it's stolen, it's stopped. You can have it stopped. Imagine digital currency. It means that, what it means is that your entire behavior will be controlled. If you don't like what the government is doing, they can shut you down. So what do we have to do as Christians? We gotta follow the Lord. We gotta witness, we gotta testify, we gotta change our behaviors if they don't please God. We gotta fight with trembling for our salvation. We gotta wrestle the devil. Because what you want, he'll put right in front of you, whether it's good for you or not. He's the tempter. He's the tempter. He will tempt you. We have to discern. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, show me. Help me discern, and he will. Show me, should I do this? Should I go with this person someplace? We're just friends. Should I go? You have to have the Holy Spirit speak to you. I know that we have believed. I don't know all of you here, but those that I know that we have accepted the Lord. Are we perfect? No. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Do we continue to make mistakes? Yes. But we have to stop. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, because the Satan is going to tempt you. Male or female. Married or not. He's going to tempt you. You're not married? You can get married. But don't let the Holy Spirit tempt you into what you shouldn't do. You're having a discussion with someone? Don't let it go into an argument. You be the bigger person and you stop it right then and there. Don't let it continue. Don't indulge in it. Don't allow the other person to indulge in it. You see someone who's going to go into a rage, leave. Go open the door and leave. You know, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Talk to you. Let the Holy Spirit convict you, show you this is right, this is wrong, because he will guide you. He does speak to you. And as I said before, people have said to me, well, how come the Spirit speaks to you and not to me? And my answer has been, because you're not listening. You're not listening. I am no better than you are. You have to be quiet. You have to be still. You have to be meditating on the Word. You have to take some time and be alone and say, speak to me, Father. Speak to me. And he will speak to you. And he will show you what he wants. Now, I'm going to qualify this. And if you're in a relationship with someone that is abusive, I'm not saying you have to stay in that relationship. God doesn't call you to be abused. God doesn't call for your children to be abused. There's nothing wrong with walking out. In essence, what I'm saying, get away. Get away from what is hurting. Get what is hurting you. Get before the Lord. Don't indulge in gossip. Don't allow somebody else to put somebody else down and say, oh, we have to pray for this person because this person is doing this and this and that. No, just pray for the person. Forgive those that have offended you, but I don't mean that you have to hang out with them. Because I know there are certain people that I don't want to hang out with. I pray for them, I forgive them, but I don't want anything to do with them. So I'm not telling you that you have to put up with certain situations. You don't. But don't magnify it, don't make it worse. Get away from it. Amen? I'm going to be ending. Let's examine ourselves. I quoted to you the scriptures that say the behaviors that God does not want us to indulge in. We may have indulged in those behaviors at one time or another. And look what the word says, that if we examine ourselves, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we examine ourselves and if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That is a gift for the Christian, for the true believer, because the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father advocating for us. He's, you know what an advocate is? An advocate, somebody that's going to put in words for you, that's going to stand up for you. Jesus is our advocator. He's standing up for you and me. He tells the Father, they've been washed in my blood. Forgive them. We will forgive them. They have repented. They've done this, but we're going to forgive them. That's what it means. The Apostle John was speaking to believers. He said, little children, he was speaking to us. We are the children of God. Everybody says, oh, everyone's a child of God. No, they're not. You are a child of God if you have truly believed. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have confessed Him as Savior and as Lord, you are a child of the Most High God. Amen. And God loves you. You heard those songs. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. But did you hear the one that said, holy? He is holy. He is holy. You may not see me, but I'm listening. He is holy. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you in 2 minutes. When I've been a Christian good part of my life, and I'm 74 years old, and I've been, my sister Dorcas can attest, we were raised in the church. Did we blow it? Absolutely. Did we do things that we shouldn't have done? Absolutely. But when I committed my life to Christ and I started serving Him, I wasn't perfect. But I wasn't indulging in certain things. But I wasn't perfect. I got my attitudes. I got my annoyances. Gossip. Okay. But one day I was in church. And I had not yet received the gift. The indwelling of this, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, actually I had received it. But I didn't know that I had received it because I was sleeping when it happened and I did not know what it was, so I did not pursue it. But I went to the altar where there was this Irish minister and his wife was Puerto Rican. And he said, who wants to come up to the altar and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues? And I was hesitant. And then he said, oh, well, if you're ashamed of God, God will be ashamed of you. So I got up. And 5 of us got up. And out of the 5, when he laid his hands on me, I felt four shafts, you know, a shaft of light encased me. And I started speaking in tongues, which I hadn't, you know, that, you know, I was being given the gift. And I understood clearly, clearly, clearly what God was saying to me in this unknown language. And he was saying to me this, and I'll never forget. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And he kept repeating that to me. "Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy."
Hallelujah.
And I still remember this, the tongue. Titiri mandi, titiri mandi. Titiri mandi, titiri mandi, titiri mandi, santi, titiri mandi, santi. Titiri mandi, santi, titiri mandi, santi. And he was telling me, and I don't remember the rest of it, "Be holy because I'm holy. Be holy because I'm holy." We Christians have to get it together. That's why people make fun of us. They say, "Oh, you're a Christian, but look at what you do." "Oh, they're a Christian, but look, there's no love. There's no this." They're constantly judging. We're not judging. We give you the word, and that's it. We love everyone, but we have to give the word. You cannot compromise the word. Homosexuality is wrong. Lesbianism is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Fornication is wrong before God. Gossiping is wrong. Pride is wrong. Stubbornness, that's part of pride. Stubborn. It's got to be my way or the highway. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. We are believers. We are true believers. True believers, yes. Our salvation is sealed. We will see God.
Hallelujah.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what the word says for true believers. Amen?
Amen.
You're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed.
Recording stopped.